Blog Talk Radio.
Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing race in the Bible, but before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us, God. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that you place within us, God. Father, I thank you for the power that you've called us to walk in so that we could effectively reconcile the world back to you and bring all of those who have been called by you before the foundations of the world into the one body of your Son, Jesus Christ, of which he is the head. Father, I thank you for you causing us to bring you glory, God, as we learn to trust you, to serve you, to please you, and to operate in the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit in absolute faith, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to live a more than abundant life, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, God. Allow us to appropriately represent you in the earth, God, so that all men can be drawn unto you as we perform signs, miracles, and wonders. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting me.
I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship shifting the
atmosphere.
Help me say it's moving and it's breaking. I'll praise him.
Shifting the atmosphere.
It's moving and it's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. One more time.
You right here. Worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this and that and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network and Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing race in the Bible. But before we get started, we'd like to, one, honor our Bishop Charlene Cook, who is the administrator and the overseer and the one who makes these shows available to the world. Also like to thank all of our listeners in Canada, the United States of America, Mexico, Peru, Brazil, Ireland, England, France, New Zealand, Nigeria, South Africa, Indonesia, the Philippines, Japan, China, India, Australia, Bulgaria, Greece, and the United Republic of Tanzania. And we are eager to see the list of nations that listen to this teaching program increase across the world. But we know that there are areas of the world where they literally block out access to the internet, believe it or not. And I know that's got to be difficult to do, but it's possible and it's done because some places in the world are not free. And so the information they have access to is limited. Tonight, we're going to be discussing race in the Bible. And we discussed race in the Bible last week as it pertained to anti-Semitism, specifically related to the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, the people who we call Jewish people today. And we explain how the Messiah came from those people. Our Messiah, our Master, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was a Jewish man descended from Abraham all the way from Isaac and Jacob, whose name is Israel, and he is a Jewish man. So it is not possible, nor reasonable, nor acceptable for us to have anti-Semitic feelings as Christians in the way of our faith. Because God said that when his son Jesus Christ died and he raised him from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, he gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, seated him at his right hand, and sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in you and I. When that happened, there was no longer the separation among mankind of Jew and Gentile. See, Gentile is everyone else who is not Jewish. And you could be Jewish by converting. You could be a proselyte, but that would require all the males in your family, or you, if it was simply you, to be circumcised. And that is a before this, after this experience where the foreskin of the male member is removed. So that is one of the things that we're going to discuss tonight about this covenant. But I want to talk about the other side of anti-Semitism that we are not so familiar with as we should be. And the other side of anti-Semitism that really leads to what we see today in the world as it pertains to racism is the other side of the line of Abraham. Abraham had a child who was actually his firstborn son when he was 86, because his wife didn't believe the promise from God that he would have, that they could have a child so old. Abram was 86 years old, and his wife said, you know what, maybe what God meant was you go sleep with my maidservant, Hagar, and you could have her and she could have your baby. And so this was Abraham's wife, Sarah's idea. And so she went ahead and told him to have a baby with her slave. And so he did. And that baby's name was Ishmael. And what's interesting about this is that Ishmael was born some years before Isaac, the child of promise, was born. I believe it says that Isaac was born when Abraham was 99 years old, and Ishmael was born when Abraham was 86 years old. And so you can see the difference between the two. You can see those 13 years difference between the two sons. And the firstborn son, Ishmael, is actually the progenitor. He is the patriarch of Israel. Islam, of the Muslim nations. And he had 12 princes. Isaac, who was born 13 years later, when Sarah actually believed and Abraham actually believed, and they had relations, and Isaac was conceived and born from them. Isaac is the child of covenant, the child of promise, and he is the patriarch of the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is interesting, and it's important because between these two, they produced 24 princes, 12 tribes of each. And that is a powerful reality to see. And what's interesting here is this path that we're going to read about today is going to show us how first it was the promise of God to Abraham that his seed would be multiplied that set all this up. And then you have Abraham. His name was Abram at the time, but Abraham, who in his unbelief has Ishmael as a result of having relations with his wife's Egyptian slave. And you see how things are already kind of mixing up. You see how the Egyptian slave Hagar, who has Abraham's firstborn son Ishmael, is now positioned to receive a blessing from God by virtue of being connected to this whole idea that God promised Abraham that his seed would be as many as the sands of the sea, and he promised, or the stars in the sky, and he promised him this when at the time he had no children at all and he was a senior. He was a serious senior. And all of a sudden, at 86 years old, this barren man has a child by his Egyptian slave. And this is interesting because this Egyptian slave, Hagar, actually conceives. And I believe when you read the story, you see how Sarah must not have believed that she was going to get pregnant anyway because Abraham was so old. And once again, you see the result being Ishmael. And then some 13 years later, Abraham and Sarah finally believe and they have relations and they have a son named Isaac. And Isaac is the child of promise. Isaac is the one that the covenant of God is attached to. But God said to each that Isaac and Ishmael would be great nations, that they would both be blessed, but the covenant is with Isaac, who we identify with the Jewish nation. But in Semitic world, in the Semitic world, the Muslims who come from the line of Ishmael have 12 princes that God also said would be blessed. And what we see is in the world today, especially, is we see a lot of anti-Semitism, a lot of hatred and envy is really what it is. Because between these two, between the Semitic Jews and the Semitic Muslims, a great portion of the world's wealth is in possession of these 24 tribes that extend from Abraham. And one of the ideas, I believe, that leads us to naturally give in to the idea of racism is because we see life as a race. We see that only some people are going to win and some people are going to lose. We see the world's resources and we say they are limited. And God says, I have provided more than enough for every living thing. If you believe, if you come to me, if you acknowledge me, right? And even if you don't. But here for us in the body of Christ, we have to remember that before Calvary, before Pentecost, there were only two categories of people. Either you were Jewish or you were not Jewish. Well, in our context, what we're discussing is this race issue against Jews and Muslims who are both the sons of Abraham and they are Semitic. These are sons of Shem, and we're going to go back to that, which is all the way back to Noah, which is way before what we're talking about now. What we're talking about now is Abraham. Abraham had Ishmael of his wife's Egyptian slave. Now, we all know Egypt is a country in Africa. So Ishmael's mother, Hagar, is African from Egypt. And his father is Abraham. And then when Abraham is 99, he conceives Isaac, the son of promise. And he conceives Isaac by Sarah, his wife, who is a senior, and she was barren, had no children up to this time, and all of a sudden, in her old age, she has a child by her aged husband. And this is a fascinating thing. So now we're going to read about this. We're going to read about this now so that we can see what the word says about what transpired. I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 15 in verse 1. And it says, sometime later, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. He said, fear not, Abram, I'm a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what can you give me, seeing that I shall die childless? Remember, he's 86 at the time. And the one in charge of my household is Damasek Eliezer. Abram said further, since you have granted me no offspring, my steward will be my heir. So he's telling God the facts as he knows them. He's telling God that he has been infertile up till this point. He has no offspring. All of his wealth will be left to the steward of his household, this Damasek Eliezer. And he has no heir. Verse 4 says, the word of the Lord came to him in reply, that one shall not be your heir. So what God is telling Abraham here is, don't lean your own understanding. Listen to what I'm telling you. None but your very own issue shall be your heir. So this is the promise from God. Now, at this point, Abram had a choice. He could either believe the promise from God, or he could reject the promise of God in unbelief, which is what many of us have. The choice many of us have is to lean to our own understanding and reject the promise of God based on what we see, or simply believe. Verse 5 says, he took him outside and said, so God took Abram outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he added, so shall your offspring be. And because he put his trust in the Lord, he reckoned it to his merit. So God reckoned his trust to his merit because Abram believed the promise from God. When God said, look up at the stars, can you count them? And and your seed is going to be that plenteous. He's saying this to a barren 86-year-old man, an infertile 86-year-old man with a senior elderly barren wife. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from the land of, out from Ur of the Chaldeans, to assign this land to you as a possession. And he said, O Lord God, how shall I know that I am to possess it? He answered, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old she-goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young bird. He brought all these and cut them in two, placing each half opposite the other. But he did not cut up the bird. Birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. As the sun was about to set, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a great dark dread descended upon him. And he said to Abram, know well that your offspring shall be strangers in a land not theirs, and they shall be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will execute judgment on the nation they shall serve, and in the end they shall go free with great wealth. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a ripe old age. Now, before I go on, I want to mention that the nation here that God is talking about to Abram is Egypt. But he doesn't tell Abram it's Egypt. He just says, your people are going to be enslaved in a nation for 400 years. They're going to be oppressed and enslaved, but they're going to leave with great riches. And then he says, you are going to lie with your fathers in peace, and you will be buried at a ripe old age. And Abraham lived to 175 years old. So we see that his story is really just getting started when he's 86. It says in verse 16, and they shall return here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. So God had some judgment that he was rolling out with the Amorites who occupied the land of Canaan and where Abraham was promised, basically. And Abraham said, how am I going to know that all this land is mine? Well, he did what God told him to do. He brought forth the sacrifices, and then God showed him the story of what was going to happen with his ancestors being enslaved, with his progeny, his children, being enslaved for 400 years in Egypt, but he didn't tell him it was Egypt. Verse 16 says, and they shall return here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet. So he was saying that four generations later, the people who were enslaved in Egypt were going to come back to the place where the promise was being made to Abram, right there, four generations later. Verse 17, when the sun set and it was very dark, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passes between those pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I assign this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, to the river Euphrates. So we know the river of Egypt is the Nile, and we know the river Euphrates, one of the other great rivers, significant rivers. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, and the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Chapter 16 says Sarai is Abram's wife, had borne him no children, so she was barren. She had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah, said to Abram, look, the Lord has kept me from bearing. Consort with my maid. perhaps I shall have a son through her. And Abram heeded Sarah's request. So Sarah, Abraham's wife, took her maid, Hagar the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt in the land of Canaan 10 years, and gave her to husband Abraham as concubine. So Sarah gave her handmaiden, her slave, Hagar, to her husband Abraham as her concubine. He cohabitated with Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was lowered in her esteem. So Sarah esteemed her mistress before she conceived, but after she conceived, she no longer had favor with Sarah. I believe Sarah did not believe that Hagar was actually going to get pregnant because Abraham was so old. It says in verse 5, Genesis 16, it says, and Sarah said to Abraham, the wrong done me is your fault. I myself put my maid in your bosom. Now that she sees that she is pregnant, I am lowered in her esteem. The Lord decide between you and me. Abraham said to Sarah, your maid is in your hands. Deal with her as you think right. Then Sarah treated her harshly, and she ran away from her. So now Hagar is a runaway slave because Sarah treated her so badly after she insisted that she have relations with her husband and have a child. So now that she's jealous of her pregnant slave Hagar, pregnant Egyptian slave Hagar, she treats her badly, so badly, she runs away. Verse 7 says, an angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the road to Shur, and said, Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from, and where are you going? And she said, I am running away from my mistress, Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said to her, go back to your mistress and submit to her harsh treatment. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly increase your offspring, and they shall be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child and shall bear a son. You shall call him Ishmael, for the Lord has paid heed to your suffering. He shall be a wild ass of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. He shall dwell alongside of all his kinsmen. And she called the Lord who spoke to her, you are El Roi, by which she meant, have I not gone on seeing after he saw me? Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roi, which is between Kadesh and Bered. Hagar bore a son to Abraham. And Abraham gave the son to Hagar, bore him the name Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. So technically, when Hagar conceived Ishmael, she was 85, maybe 86, but he was 86 when Ishmael was born, according to this record here. Chapter 17 says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai. Walk in my ways and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will make you exceedingly numerous. Abram threw himself on his face, and God spoke to him further. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. And we know this to be true. And you shall no longer be called Abram. God changed his name from Abram. But your name shall be Abraham, for I make you the father of a multitude of nations. So see, God has always been creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. But he's saying, with this particular individual, I'm going to make of you, old, barren man. Actually, he's not barren at this time because he's having a baby by, he had a baby by his slave. He said, I'm going to make you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fertile and make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. I will maintain my covenant between me and you and your offspring to come as an everlasting covenant throughout the ages to be God to you and to your offspring to come. I assign the land you sojourn in to you and your offspring to come, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting holding. I will be their God. And see, this is one of the things that we have, one of the issues that we have in race in the Bible, is this idea of not acknowledging God's sovereignty and acknowledging that all things are God's. So when God makes a decision to take something from one group of people and give it to another, when God makes a decision to enslave one group of people while another group of people is free at that particular time, when God makes a decision to exalt a particular group of people at a given time while others are oppressed, that is his sovereign will. That is what's going to happen. It's happening for a reason. And we see how part of the dream that Abram had was that his people were going to be enslaved for 400 years. He didn't tell Abram that the nation that was going to enslave them was Egypt, but he did tell him that a nation was going to enslave his people for 400 years, but that they were going to leave there with great riches. So look at what it says in verse 9 here. It says, God further said to Abraham, as for you, you and your offspring to come throughout the ages shall keep my covenant. Such shall be the covenant between me and you and your offspring to follow, which you shall keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. Now, this is a serious covenant here. This is a real deal. You're talking to a man who is, at the time, 99 years old. He has one child. And part of this covenant is that Abraham and every male living among him, so that's his sons and his servants, would be circumcised. That is the foreskin at the tip of your male genitalia, which would be removed, cut off. It's a blood offering, a blood covenant. Look at 11, verse 11. You shall circumcise your flesh of your foreskin, so you'll remove your foreskin, and that shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And throughout the generations, every male among you shall be circumcised at the age of 8 days. So when a child, a male child, was 8 days old, he was to be circumcised. As for the homeborn slave and the one bought from an outsider who is not of your offspring, they must be circumcised. So purchased slaves must be circumcised. Homeboard slaves must be circumcised and purchased alike. Thus shall my covenant be marked in your flesh as an everlasting pact. And if any male who is uncircumcised fails to circumcise the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his kin. He has broken my covenant. So basically God is saying, look, this is the evidence of the covenant between you and I, is your males in your household will be circumcised, and if they are not, they will be put away. They are not a part of this covenant. They have broken the covenant. And God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarah, you shall not call her Sarai, but her name shall be Sarah. I will bless her. Indeed, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she shall give rise to nations. Rulers of people shall issue from her. Abraham threw himself on his face and laughed. Now, this is an interesting thing because the son that they bear, the son that Abraham and Sarah have, is named Isaac, and his name means laughter. And when Abraham is hearing this promise from God, he threw himself on his face and he laughed. And he said to himself, can a child be born to a man 100 years old? Or can Sarah bear a child at 90? And Abraham said to God, now he's leaning to his own understanding. These are very reasonable questions he's asking, because the answer according to our understanding is no, right? But all things are possible with God. Look at verse 18. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live by your father, by your favor. God said, nevertheless, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall name him Isaac. And I will maintain my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring to come. As for Ishmael, I have heeded you. I hereby bless him. I will make him fertile and exceedingly numerous. He shall be the father of 12 chieftains. See, these are the 12 princes of Ishmael. And I will make of him a great nation. And we know that the tribes of the 12 princes of Ishmael are great. But my covenant I will maintain with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this season next year. And when he was done speaking with him, God was gone from Abraham. See, when God speaks, exactly what he said is exactly what's going to happen. We have to believe and fall in line. And at this time, God is promising great things to both the sons of Isaac, the sons of both of the sons of Abraham, rather, his son that was born first of Ishmael, or of Hagar, his Egyptian slave, his son named Ishmael, and then his son Isaac, who was born when he was 100 years old, conceived when he was 99, by Sarah. And Isaac is the one who is the father of the Jewish people. And Ishmael is the one who is the father of the Muslim people. Now, what's interesting about this is that Abraham worshipped the moon god, Allah, before he met God Almighty. And we'll go back to this later on. And so the 12 princes of Ishmael worshipping the moon god is simply them continuing the original worship of Abraham before he met God Almighty, before God Almighty introduced himself. Now, because God said, my covenant is with Isaac, all of his, they are circumcised, they are marked under this covenant with Abraham as being Jewish. And anti-Semitism really is coming against the promise of God to these two groups of people, saying, I will bless them greatly. They will be blessed. They will be powerful. They will dominate. And we can see throughout history, even up till today, they do. And so who are we to come against the promises of God? As a matter of fact, to understand that, as Christians, we have been grafted into the covenant of God with Abraham. We are attached to that covenant by sharing in faith when we accept Jesus Christ, our Jewish master, the Son of God, as our master, as our Savior, as our Lord. And that allows us to come into the presence of God Almighty and declare that He is our Heavenly Father because of our faith. And you have to remember that before Calvary, before Pentecost, there were only one group of people on the face of, there was only one group of people on the face of the earth that was having their sins forgiven. It was and atoned for. It was once a year. It was children of Israel. They had one high priest who could go in before the presence of God. That was always a Jewish male high priest, no one else. And he made sacrifice on behalf of God's people. And all of a sudden, when Jesus comes, he becomes the perfect sacrifice. With his perfect blood as the Son of God, when he was beat for our physical wholeness, nailed to the cross, and stabbed in the side with a spear, and he died on the cross, and he was laid in a stone tomb for 3 days and three nights, and God raised him from the dead after 3 days and three nights, seated him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I, so that now all of us who accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as our master, can come boldly before the throne of God. And that is why we're not to see or view any other Christian, any other child of God, according to the flesh. Because it doesn't matter if you're male, female, black, white, Semitic. It doesn't matter. What matters to God is that you have submitted to his Son, Jesus Christ, a Jewish man, as your master. The Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sent from God, born through the lineage of the children of Israel, of the line of the household of King David, because God promised that there would always be a king from the line of King David on the throne. God promised that his people would always be in covenant with him. And that is an eternal covenant. And we, when we make Jesus Christ the master of our life, we are grafted into that olive tree, into that covenant of Abraham. And when you graft something into another plant, you literally are carving into the main plant and then attaching a foreign branch into that. And we are the foreign branches, all Gentiles, all non-Jews. And today, because Jews and Gentiles have been made one, circumcision has been done away with. Where we are to circumcise ourselves is in our heart. And see, this is the issue, is when we do not circumcise our heart, when we do not submit to God, then we allow racism, anti-Semitism, prejudice, to cloud our spiritual vision. We allow our relationship with God to be hindered by our emotions, by not being willing to forgive, by not being willing to forget, by not being willing to move forward in the promises of God, instead of looking backward to the pain of yesterday, to things that you cannot change if you wanted to. It is important to understand understand history. It is important to understand culture. It's important to understand the people groups that you're dealing with, because it's going to show you that we have more in common than we don't have in common. All of our nations, all of our cultures have been interpreting the same story in the night sky. All of our cultures understand that a Messiah is part of the story. And we simply happen to know who that Messiah is. So it's our job to share with those who know the rest of the story. They have different titles, different names, different things. But the Messiah is the key element. And when we understand how important we are to understand that God promises that all people who diligently seek him will find him. So just because somebody's studying Buddhism now, but they're diligently seeking God, means that when they meet you, it's your opportunity to not judge them, but to introduce them to Jesus Christ, their Savior, and tell them what he did by paying for their physical wholeness, by paying for all of their sin with his perfect blood. And then they can come before the throne of God and receive the rest of what God has for them, and be blessed also, and be grafted into this covenant relationship with God through the faith of Abraham and the obedience of Jesus Christ that made it possible for the dividing wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles to be torn down and removed, so that we could be one body of Christ again. The reason I'm discussing this now is so that we can understand the origin, the beginning of how all of this came to be. And when you see that Sarah was Abraham's wife, and that Hagar was Abraham's African Egyptian slave, and that was the mother of his firstborn son Ishmael, who had 12 princes who were blessed by God, and that he had him at 86 years old. And then he had Isaac with Sarah after they actually believed the actual promise of God that they would have a child. Even though Abraham laughed, Isaac was born when he was 100 years old. The 12 tribes of Israel are the Jewish people that we know today. And they are both blessed, but the covenant relationship is with Isaac, and the Messiah came through that Jewish lineage. But both are Semitic, and they both have the same father, Abraham. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. God, Father, I thank you for this, having helped someone get to the point where they could grow in their heart and their understanding toward you, and understanding how you have designed your heavenly kingdom of many nations, starting with these Semitic people that come from Abraham. Thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, Be Ye Transformed.
My heart. been waiting to hear from you.
Keep my heart.
Hey, that's what I want you to do.
Keep my heart.
Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Give me
your holy word.
Your holy word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear.